This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 396. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's bait and switch for the Legends of Tomorrow, Superman Spreads His Wings, a junk shop for supervillains, while Bigby and Mary have it out. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, March 20th, 2016. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, so, we do have 2 weeks to cover here.
Yes, it's like the first day of spring, and it's already like our summer busy season is starting.
Yeah. Now, we will have another 101 episode next week, and then after that, we're going to have to get into Batman versus Superman, along with whatever rebirth info comes out of WonderCon. But first, Legends of Tomorrow, number one. Firestorm by Conway, Pensica, Hunter, and Breen. Metamorpho by Lepestri, Benning, Sotomayor, and Heisler. Sugar and Spike by Giffen, Evely, Plasencia, and Napolitano. And Metal Men by Wine, Sinar, Scott, White, and Wands. As you can probably tell, this is an anthology title. It's square bound, 80 pages for $7.99. So you're getting four stories for less than the price of three, based on the $2.99 price.
So were each of these stories actually the length that you would have gotten in an individual floppy?
I tend to doubt it. I think they're cut down a bit.
A bit. But they were still pretty substantial stories, I thought.
Right. Now, the last time DC did an anthology title, you might want to call Wednesday Comics an anthology title in 2009, but the last real comic book that was an anthology title, you have to go all the way back to Secrets of Haunted House, which ended in 1982.
Wow, that seems a little odd.
So why now? Well, it looks like they had multiple new titles in the queue, and with Rebirth coming, they weren't sure they'd have enough time to get them out, or maybe they just didn't think any of them would survive on their own.
Well, you know, as I was reading it, I was thinking about the Rebirth, and I was thinking none of these actually seemed like they would fit into the New 52 continuity as it was.
Right.
So maybe these were actually left over from before New 52 or something.
Well, at least Sugar and Spike was announced last year.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you're right. Some of these literally could be pre-New 52, or they could fit in there at least.
They also have the Legends of Tomorrow TV show.
Right. And maybe they just wanted some synergy here. Mm-hmm. However, the show and the comic only share one character, Firestorm.
And it's not actually the Firestorm from the show
Right. Either. So it's a bit of a bait and switch for people who are coming into the LCS saying, oh, I want to get that Legends of Tomorrow title.
Yeah.
In any case, Firestorm and Metal Men are serviceable stories. Conway and Wine have problems with modern storytelling, I think. Both were clearly designed as their own titles because they were setting up the concept and they're introducing these new characters. Sinar's artwork on Metal Men is really outstanding,
mm-hmm,
I thought.
Yeah.
Metamorpho is just another retelling of the origin story, but in this case, Sapphire Stagg is now a scientist and not just a damsel in distress.
And she didn't know Rex before he turned into Metamorpho.
Yes.
In previous stories, she did.
Exactly. But the jewel here is Sugar and Spike. The first appearance of these characters goes back to Sugar and Spike number one in 1956, created by Sheldon Mayer. They were mischievous toddlers, and only we, the readers, can understand them. To everyone else, it was just they were saying gibberish. It was only canceled in the U.S. in 1971, only when Sheldon Mayer's health became an issue. But he actually returned to the comic and did it overseas for DC until 1991.
Wow.
Now they're adults running a PI agency with a specialty in metahumans, making past indiscretions go away, which is a great way to cover silly Silver Age stories and concepts that really don't fit anymore.
Yes.
And their first case is to recover Batman's Silver Age weird costumes like Rainbow Batman and Zebra Batman, and they track them down to Killer Moth, who has one of these weird addictions, and let's just say the costumes were chewed a bit.
He has needs. Come on.
Alfred hired Sugar and Spike, of course. The fine line artwork is just superb, and Giffen's dialogue is great as always.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pay $7.99 to read Sugar and Spike and just consider the other stories as a bonus.
Do you know how long this is supposed to last?
I have no idea. I'll be shocked if it lasts past Rebirth.
Okay.
Superman, American Alien, number 5 of 7 by Landis and Manapul. Max Landis continues his miniseries, taking us through major points in Clark's life. And now he's an intern at the Daily Planet, trying to figure out how to use his powers. He's rigged up this bizarre costume with this dark t-shirt with an S on it, a World War II fighter pilot cowl and goggles, an almost Batman-like cape, gloves, jeans, and boots. And he says, I'm just going to do one good deed a day.
And apparently he's like wearing things like a bulletproof vest to throw people off that, you know, so they won't think he's bulletproof.
Right. And Lois is already trying to figure out who the guy is, talking to Clark, and said, well, this guy needs to name himself before someone else does it. And Clark suggests maybe he's just a guy with spare time. There's a great one-sided call between Clark and Martha, plus a lunchtime snack on a rooftop. Clark has to go up against an actual monster, a proto-parasite created by Luthor. Clark mops him up and drops him off at LexCorp. Lex gives him the riot act about the whole thing, leaving Clark very confused.
Yes.
Lois later buoys Clark's spirit, saying, I want to believe that there's someone out there who doesn't suck, Clark. Clark then leaves a message at LexCorp saying, see you real soon.
And signs it Superman.
Yeah.
So he's
right.
In the conversation they had, Luthor sort of called him Superman as a sarcastic comment. And I think he's going to take that and run with it.
And I've said it before, this is how you write a Superman story.
Exactly.
Astro City number 33 from Vertigo by Busiek, Anderson, Ross, Pantazis, and Comicraft. This is the second part of the Steeljack story. He and Cutlass are on stakeout watching a warehouse, and he researched ex-villains who were backsliding back into their life of crime. And we get these tales of the Beekeeper, Springbok, and Tractor, all of whom could have gotten access to Cutlass's tech. And they meet the Fix-It Man in the warehouse, this guy who fixed supervillain tech at one point and now just collects it. He shows off the Black Opal, which Cutlass salivates over.
Do we know what... Have we seen the Black Opal before?
Okay. I don't think so. A pair of glasses that see death coming, and this face changer. Steeljack is really just there to find out who the buyer is, but is interrupted by Hoods in Iron Guard armor. During the fight, Fix-It Man is killed because he was the target. Off to TJ Scoundrels, a supervillain-themed restaurant, think Planet Hollywood.
Well, and apparently there was a superhero one
right.
That was pretty successful, so they said, hey, we should have a supervillain one.
They get called back to meet the owner, who is a collector and Steeljack's biggest fan.
Yeah.
Really interested to see where this all goes. Fables, The Wolf Among Us, number 15 from Vertigo, by Sturgis, Justice, Noyan, McManus, Moore, and Loughridge. This digital first series based on a video game continues, and there's two stories here. Bigby tracking down the Crooked Man, while Crane, in the past, is tracking down the donkey that lays the golden eggs. In the first story, Bigby mercifully takes out a dying Georgie Porgy, then finds Crooked Man, only to fight Bloody Mary in a long battle that goes a long way through the issue, most of which has very little dialogue. In the second story, Crane and his retinue find the castle in the homelands, only to find his beloved Abigail is now inhabited by the twisted soul of King Edward. And the rest of that story is about negotiating the magic word for the donkey in return for their daughter and her magic gowns. And this story is particularly creepy.
It is.
I'm still enjoying this story, although I think it's really moved away from the Fable's main characters, which I guess you have to do at some point.
Well, otherwise it would just be Fables.
Right. And you're trying to write something that's a prequel, but it doesn't impact
right
the main story. So you do pretty much have to go off and write a whole nother thing with different characters.
Yes.
All right. Before we get out of here, it's time to play our America's Fastest Growing New Game Show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm pressing the button.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it on broadcast?
Yes.
Is it on ABC?
No.
NBC?
No.
CBS?
Yes.
Is it one person on the cover?
Yes.
Is it a man?
Yes.
Okay, on CBS, one person on the cover, man. Is the man over 50?
No.
Over 40?
No.
Over 30?
Yes. I looked that up before we started.
Okay, is the show in prime time?
No.
Okay, that helps. Not in prime time, and is it late night?
Yes.
Is it Colbert?
No.
It's James Corden?
It's James Corden.
Wow, James Corden got a cover of E.T.?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm shocked.
So was I. I had to look it up twice just to be sure.
It's like, that can't be. At Carpool Karaoke, apparently.
It is, yes.
All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.